was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're right outside.
Welcome back, guys, to another week of Best Week Ever. I am super excited this week. I am with Cam from What I Will Say podcast, queer pop culture podcast, and evidence-based gossip. I love that bio, by the way, from your Instagram. I'm like reading it off of it. But yes, I have Cam today. Cam, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Honored to be here. And it's just a beautiful April spring day in Nashville. So I'm just having a great day. How are you doing?
We've been having so much rain that, like, yeah, it's been sunny. I don't know how it's been in Nashville, but like, I bet spring in Nashville is just so, like, I would come up with so much music being there.
It's been a bit of a roller coaster this year, right? A little crazy, a little up and down. So it's nice to have the sun coming through though.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited to have you on. Can you please let my listeners know a little bit about you? I obviously know you because of Shannon from Fluently Forward and my babe, Tori from Ready to Be Petty. But can you please let the listeners know a bit about your podcast and yourself?
Oh my gosh, I'd love to. So I'm Cam and I cover pop culture with a bit of a Taylor Swift lens. Now, that's not the only thing I cover because sometimes I get excited about and interested in something and we have to talk about vampires or Nostradamus or like whatever for a week. But it's kind of a queer pop culture deep dive podcast with a Taylor Swift lens, because what I'm really into, I love pop music. First, let me say, I love pop music. So I love like the song question you have for your guests at the end. Excited to talk about that with you. But what really interests me about it is that it's like, it's all about famous people. And this goes back for years, right? This, you can go back to Fleetwood Mac or Derek and the Dominoes and his drama with the Beatles and, like, you know, all of that amazing kind of lore. And nobody does that shit better than Taylor, that, oh, there's like a hint about a lyric and like, who's this song about? And, you know, in the music video, there's a clue, and I'm just obsessed with it. And she wants us to be, right? She wants us to be. So I got really into that. I will admit, I got into it from a Gaylor perspective. I am less about the Gaylor now. I still have my theories about it. But like right now, we're in the middle of a Taylor and Joe deep dive to get ready for the album, which comes out this week, Tortured Poets Department. And, you know, I like to go through these timelines and go through every detail of what happened and say, this ties back to that song, and this ties back to that song. Anyway, I'm rambling. But yeah, I love talking about music. I love talking about pop culture. I love pop music, and I really love Taylor Swift. And of course, we talk about other topics too. We have a Justin and Selena deep dive and so on and so forth, stuff about Harry Styles, but we always come back to Taylor. So
it always goes back to Taylor, especially with like the news cycle right now. We'll probably get into it more, but Coachella, seeing her and Trav this weekend, I feel like it was everywhere in my timeline. And if it wasn't in yours, I think you're living under a rock. Mm-hmm. But let's start with our worst week category, worst week ever category, where we go over who's having the worst week ever in pop culture. Worst week ever, honorable mention, who do you have this week?
So for honorable mention, I've got JoJo Siwa. Now, I have a couple, but the first one is JoJo Siwa. And surely you have borne witness to her rebrand. How do you think it's going?
Oh, I totally went on a rampant last week saying that she needs to stop doing interviews.
Yeah, it seems like she's trying to do this like laissez-faire Renee rap. I don't give a fuck. I'm a big girl now. And it's coming off as a little disingenuous and it's not landing with people. And I just think, I don't dislike JoJo for the same reasons everybody else dislikes. I don't actually have strong feelings about her. She's just a gay child. Like, I see myself, that's me 15 years ago, just like a gay idiot child. It's fine. I think we should give her a little grace. We should give her a little room to grow up. And hopefully she kind of gets a better handle on this thing, right? But people just are finding her cringe and they all hate her for that. And I'm kind of like, no, let her be cringe. The problem is she keeps sort of platforming abusers like Colleen Ballinger and James Charles. And she, like, it sounds like her dance clinic or camp allegedly was having sort of the same kind of abuses that JoJo faced herself on Dance Moms, like working the kids too hard, being rude, making fun of them, that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of that can still be chalked up to like the adults around JoJo have let her down. So I'm like, those are bad things. And I have critiques for those things, but I also think she could grow through those. And they didn't start out as her fault. Now, at some point, she's an adult. She has to take ownership, right? But like, everybody's just hating on JoJo because she's fucking cringe. And I feel bad for that. But I feel like her rebrand is not 100% landing the way she wants it to. And that's making her have a hard week. What do you think?
Oh, no, I 100% co-sign with everything you're saying, because the fact that she is playing what her idea of what an adult is, because mm-hmm. that's her rebrand, right? Is that she's not a kid anymore. She doesn't want to be looked at as a kid. She wants to be looked at as an adult. And it's really hard to visualize doing that when she has a costume on and she is still hanging around with influencers who are deeply bad influencers. Like, yeah, the Colleen Ballinger one is really disturbing to me. And Tom Sandoval, the fact that she hinges, because they did do a show together, but like, I don't even know what kind of friendship that is. Yeah, I just don't. And it's always like a back and forth with JoJo, because I blame her mother 100%. She is a child of a toxic, abusive cycle with being with the Abby Miller in the Dance Moms, and yeah, how she got catapultized to the top. She very has much that attitude of like, well, I've gone through it, so like they have to go through it too, when she did the tween band pop that you were talking about. But no, I don't see this very well for her. It has come off as like a great meme joke on my Twitter feed. And yeah, it's gone a little bit overboard. But like at the same time, she's not stopping. Like no one's telling her to stop.
Yeah. And there's some other elements too, right? I think JoJo is also a contester for having a worst week, because everybody is misunderstanding the making of the music process. So nowhere, I have looked through interviews because I'm kind of interested, right? This is gay culture. This is my wheelhouse. I got to get into it. I cannot find anywhere JoJo saying, I wrote the song Karma, right? Karma's the big song. If you haven't heard it, you should go listen to it. It is a fucking bop. But Karma is one of those songs that got passed around amongst pop artists. So it was written originally for Miley Cyrus like 10 years ago. And you can see that, right? That's such like a Miley Cyrus bangers era. It totally works, right? And her voice would be great on it. Anyway, hope maybe she'll cover it someday, manifest. But it then got passed.
That would be.
Yeah. duet, please, begging. It then got passed to an artist named Britt Smith, who's kind of a nobody from what I can tell, but was like a pop, you know, wanted to be a pop star, had some talent, pretty girl, like whatever, all good. And she did record vocals for it and the whole song, I should say, and a music video. And then it was just never dropped. It was like never properly released for whatever reason. I think she recorded a different song and then her team was like, no, we're going in this direction and maybe we come back to Karma. But then her career didn't really take off, so she never went back to it. And everybody's saying, JoJo says she wrote Karma. It was already released by another artist. Britt Smith wrote it. And it's like, no, Britt Smith didn't write it. Like a team of writers wrote it, including the person who wrote Bet on It from High School Musical 2, which is like, fuck yes. But everybody's sort of misunderstanding that like, it's really, really, really common for pop artists to not have a hand at all in writing their music or to co-write on it, but like maybe not do a ton with it. But like people are just like, JoJo pretended to write this song and she didn't. She talked about finding the song and she actually kind of gave, I almost thought it was like a good interview where she was like, I wasn't ready to say some of these things. I wasn't ready to say Karma's a bitch, but like she never once said she wrote it and everybody's acting like she did. So I kind of hate when someone sort of gets not canceled, maligned, whatever, has this sort of negative repercussions for something they didn't do because people are dumb. And like people think pop artists write, no, most don't. Like Taylor Swift is kind of the exception. You know what I mean? Like she does write all her music with a little help, but like most pop artists don't, or most pop artists, maybe they have a hand in writing it. Selena Gomez, for example, but like they're not doing the bulk of the work, you know? So oh, that's really common.
We need to open the book of Miss J-Lo and how she started her singing career.
Because, well, and, like, yeah, and that... J-Lo, she didn't even take the vocals out. Like, she released tracks with, like, Aaliyah, for example, her vocals on different songs. Actually, I have J-Lo is Christina up here, too.
Milian is one of them, too, that you hear. And, of course, Ashanti. But, like, I think JoJo was, like, definitely, because that is part of the music industry. I feel like you are so right with Behind the Music. I feel like we have that knowledge from VH1 of mm-hmm. knowing that that is how songs are made. Like, I love the songwriter of Katy Perry. Don't really like Katy Perry, but I remember the songwriter who came up with the music with her vocals. Before it got sold to Katy Perry. It's just part of the music industry, and everyone's just not, like, really computing that.
Right. And so you have some artists like Julia Michaels, for example. She has her own stuff, but she also writes a ton. She's been Selena Gomez's co-writer for a long time.
Yeah.
So, like, that's where a lot of the writing comes in, and it's just fine. Nobody's plagiarizing or being evil or, like, not everybody's a songwriter. Some people are performers. The other thing I like about JoJo is that she does admit she's not much of a singer, and she just says, I'm a performer, I'm an entertainer. And I do agree. I think she's a fucking amazing dancer. I know everybody's been bagging on her for the dance, but I think it's like she was trying to get, like, a bit, do a bit. And so she went on TikTok, she did the karma dance, like, way too 100%, way too hard. So it just looks clumsy. And now all these dance people are like, actually, you know, you're not supposed to. And it's like, yeah, it's true. But if you watch the music video, I think the music video goes off. Like, I think it's a really good, it's kind of corny, but, like, it's gay as fuck. She is, like, humping these girls. I'm like, okay, we have, like, maybe she did invent gay pop. I mean, she didn't. That's another thing people are bagging on her for. And I think rightfully so. She's like, I came up with a genre called gay pop. And it's like, honey, Glee was on in 2009. Okay. And it goes back further than that. So just calm down, you know?
No, it's so she is in her high horse right now. That's what I mean when she, like, should take a step back and, like, step away from doing interviews, because it's just, like, digging a hole more of where she's at right now.
Yeah. And I'm pulling for her. I just see a young gay disaster, and I'm like, I want this gay person to be all right. You know, I want all gay people to be okay. You get a little extra leeway with me when you're just a gay idiot, because I relate to that. So, like, I'm pulling for her. But yeah, she's kind of having a rough week in some ways.
Yeah, no, I always give grace, especially segueing to my worst week honorable mention. I have a couple, but on my top right now is Gen Z watching and tweeting about Sex and the City right now.
Oh, no.
Apparently Sex and the City is on Netflix. And I thought Gen Z already has been on the known with Sex and the City. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Because the whole debacle is very, like, flip-flop. Like, I have a lot of people saying, like, that it's exhausting. They've streamed it enough during the pandemic. And then I have other discourse saying that, like, it's very cringe and outdated. But still, the one thing that is still in common is the dating aspect of it all. Besides, you know, the very outdated and cringy part. Like, I do get both sides, but what are your thoughts for Sex and the City and Gen Zers watching it? I feel like, before I let you answer, Gen Z are really smart in taking this information, and I don't see any really, like, hate or any, like, shit talking, but I don't know. What are your experience and thoughts?
Well, I guess the word we might be looking for when we talk about Sex and the City would be a word that was basically invented because of the show Glee. Actually, if you go look on Tumblr and, like, how often the word got used on Google before that, would be problematic, right? Sex and the City is a product of its time. It is filled with, like, tons of casual racism, homophobia, transphobia, some really awful examples of transphobia. And in a lot of ways, it's just this sort of fantasy. It's sort of like if a romance novel sort of got turned into a TV show and people tried to act like it was realistic. So, like, there's this great video essay. I forget the name of the creator who made it, but if you search, like, what, like, finance and Sex in the City, like, the amount of money Carrie made versus the amount of money Carrie spent is, like, the dumbest thing you have ever heard. Like, the show sort of lets us down in a lot of ways, from being, like, inclusive and, you know, good representation, to also just, like, being completely unrealistic. I can see Gen Z butting heads with, you know, the racism, the, you know, the sort of carelessness and the ignorance with which vulnerable people are talked about in that show. And then also sort of the problematic aspects of Carrie's relationships. You know, she's not a very healthy person. She's not the best girlfriend. She's not a good communicator. Her, and then, you know, some of the guys, I think Big is like a complete douchebag, right? Like even perhaps emotionally abusive. She gets hit at one point. Of course, she leaves that guy. But, you know, I can see Gen Z sort of struggling to like, why was this show so popular? Because it's not that amazing. That said, I love the cast. I love all the fashion. I love New York City. Like, I could still sit down and watch that show, but I can also recognize, like, ugh, like, I can't believe they left that in there. I can't believe that made the show. Like, why is, you know, why are they saying those things, right? So
I feel like Kim Cattrall is really, like, sitting back and listening to all this and saying, like, I told you so. Like, she said enough. Because, you know, there's been the movie and then there was Morocco. And then it's, like, the whole HBO series coming back. She's like, this is... so done.
Well, so the issue with Kim Cattrall is just her beef with Sarah Jessica Parker and the creators, right? Like, did she think the show was bad and problematic, or did she just not want to work with? I mean, if you believe sort of reports out of the set, Sarah Jessica Parker and her did not get along, and SJP, being sort of the lead on the show, ended up with Kim, like, always like having to be humiliated and like in these tough situations. Like, she had to be bald at different points because she had cancer. She had to be naked all the time and having to do sort of all these humiliating acts. And people say that, well, that ties back to, if you believe the gossip, which I don't really know, I don't have strong opinions on it, but I mean, it does seem like there's something wrong because Kim didn't come back, except, I mean, she came back for the second season for like one scene, but spoiler, but
you know. I think that was like a spoiler in itself, right? Before the season even aired.
Right. So if you want to believe, you know, the drama on the set, which I kind of do, then Sarah Jessica Parker was not that gracious of a coworker to work with, to Kim Cattrall. And I kind of like Kim Cattrall. I don't know. I like Samantha. So maybe that's just the person I like. But I can see Gen Z, like, you know, running into all of that and having some strong feelings about it.
Yeah, but I love the discourse, and yeah, I can't wait to see a lot of their commentary as movies come out. I feel one movie that I mentioned to Donnie from I Am the Cute One podcast, I was saying, does Gen Z know about Austin Powers yet?
Oh God, I hope not. Oh, I hated those movies when they came out. Like, I mean, wait till they find out about like the Scary Movie series and all of that. Like, honestly, just media, some of it's just not holding up, and that's okay. But
I love the history of it. It's we need it back. VH1, please bring it back.
I know.
but for another Worst Week honorable mention, I have to give it to Chris Pratt and his wife renovating a mid-century home. I really wish I am one of those chronically online people who get really devastated seeing these modern century homes just being bulldozed into, not modern, mid-century homes, being bulldozed and turned into like some interior design from today's genre, and it makes me so upset. And Chris Pratt apparently has bought a really nice place. Let me pull this up real quick. It was on Architectural Digest. Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger are building a brand new house in a place of a historic mid-century modern pad. And yeah, it's a 1950 home designed by modernist architect Craig Elwood. And if you actually Google him, and I'll put him on the show notes, he's actually made a lot of beautiful houses. And the one that they're renovating is abandoned, obviously, and they are just tearing the whole entire thing down. And there's photos of this house. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't followed it. I loathe Chris Pratt, so I'm not going to follow him or anything. But I haven't heard discourse about this.
I like to troll on that man a little bit. It's like he deserves it. And the fact that he's doing this is a Worst Week. Another one is Brittany Jax on a sympathy tour. I don't know if you're a Vanderpump Rules watcher, but I have since 2015, 16. I was a little late in the game, but I remember when Britney first came into the Vanderpump Rules series and really did shake up the whole entire season with Jax. And I put her on the worst week because it's like she's going on this tour of like going on different meeting platforms and just discussing the fact that she has been, you know, hurt by Jax. But it's like, girl, we heard this like 9 years ago. Like, you were warned. You were told by many confidential friends that knew Jax. And the fact that she is just on this tour of, I don't know. I feel like Ariana really left a mark on these cast members because they're all jealous and they are now asking for some sort of sympathy when they do their storyline. That's my opinion of what Britney is trying to do, but it's just random and weird. And also, worst week ever, Cruz for his cake being toppled to the floor. It
Oh,
looked like it was
no.
Jax's fault. Did you see that clip?
I didn't. Can I tell you? Let me be honest. I watched my first episode of Vanderpump Rules like a week ago. So
oh, wow.
I am still learning about that behemoth of a series.
But
given what I saw, I am not surprised that different various members of that cast or show are having worst weeks. Like, I sign off on that wholeheartedly because, gosh, do these people go through their trials and tribulations. Let me tell you what.
I'm excited for this ride of yours. Are you going to continue? Because the first season is like the first three episodes is very like it catches you.
Oh, I came in the middle of a series. My friends are big watchers. So we just did a night at my house where we watched it. And so I came into a lot of fighting amongst couples who are now divorced.
Yeah.
And there was like pizza that was ordered and they went to the beach. And so I'm just learning as I go.
Yeah. No, it's a lot. And it's a lot of baggage. Like, I think about just knowing the luggage of all this information from this show. It's a lot.
It's a lot to learn for sure. But like I said, not surprised at all that people are struggling through after being a part of that show. Did you see? I saw my friend sent me this picture. They're casting for the next Vanderpump Villa. And they're like, we need like professionals that are, you know, work in basically the service industry. And then it's like, send us your social media, you know, platforms and you're following. My friend was like, I fear they do not actually want service industry professionals. Obviously they want influencers. I thought that was really funny.
Is it like another Southern Charm? I have not watched Southern Charm. I'm actually holding back, but I've been told that it's a great series to watch, especially if you love Vanderpump Rules. But it sounds very much like that, where these people are servers, but they don't mind to show their ass off.
Right. They're definitely just here to grow their Instagram followings, as they should, as they should.
Yeah.
Good
for them. Good for them.
I have another person who's like, he's having a bad week. I don't know if he knows it, but this is a runner up. It's going to be Travis Kelce because a few things have surfaced. So there is a UFC commentator announcer, I believe named Sage Steele. I might have said that last name wrong, but Sage Steele, who posted, and Travis is friends with this person. Travis is a big fan of UFC. Of course, if you don't know what UFC, it's like fighting professional. It's like MMA, professional fighting, like boxing, WWE. It's like all that entertainment that's fighting. It's tied in with that. You probably did know that, but in case you didn't, but that person made a post about an event that had like several pictures of Trump throughout the carousel, including on the first one. And Travis liked it. And of course, Travis, you know, having this huge spotlight on him due to Taylor Swift, everybody's watching. People who don't like Taylor Swift are watching. People who don't like the idea of Taylor Swift having a boyfriend, the Gaylors, are watching and picking apart everything he does, which I find annoying, but not the best look. Now, people keep telling me he unliked it, but then people keep telling me he didn't. I went and looked. It doesn't look likes, but I'm wondering, maybe some people can see that it was like, maybe some people can't. I don't know. But I have seen screenshots of it being liked. So he liked that post. And then this other pretty icky, unfortunate, maybe a misunderstanding, but he was on a podcast like 4 years ago and they were talking about people when they see people who aren't speaking English. And the host is kind of riffing on it. And Travis, I guess, kind of joins in. And basically what he said was, oh, when I see someone speaking English, my first question is like, oh, what are you doing here? And it comes off not the best, right? What did I say? When I see somebody who's not speaking English, their first question is, what are you doing here? And that doesn't come off great, right? Now, it could be like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like curious. I'm nosy. Like, are you traveling? Are you on vacation? Or was it like a xenophobic energy? You can't say for sure, but it did not come off well. So Travis has been partying his ass off in Coachella, looking all loved up with Taylor. I love it. I'm pulling for them. I think they're cute together. But Travis can be a lot. He also got some criticism because he like did a live podcast in Cincinnati and he chugged a beer on stage as he was like given a diploma at the end. I don't know if it was a genuine diploma ceremony, like they gave him an honorary doctorate, or if it was just a skit and a bit. People who watched told me, no, he was just doing a bit. Like, it was a crazy raunchy show. It was sort of just part of it. But people who were just seeing the clip of him like getting a diploma and then chugging an entire beer on stage are like freaking out about it, being like, he's so uncouth. He's not good enough for Taylor. Does Travis know he's having a bad week? I actually don't think so. I think he's been rolling a Molly and loving the fuck out of Coachella. But kind of some down moments for him this week.
Oh, the sleuths are out. They're really trying to like take him down. I mean, with the tweets, I feel like nothing really happened when his tweets surfaced of, I don't know. And I think it was funny. I don't know. But yeah. And now I did see the pictures of the screenshot and then it looked like it was taken down. So I don't know. The whole fact that it wasn't there, or was it not there? I don't know.
I don't know. But my message to the Gaylers is you guys are going to hate when you find out who Karlie Kloss is married to. So, you know what I mean? So let's just keep things in perspective. But yeah, maybe a rough week for Travis, though. Did he know? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good one. My worst week ever runner up, I have to give it to the band Blur in Coachella. I don't know if you saw this clip. It went viral on my Twitter. And obviously it got pulled down, so the video is not up anymore, but I'll see if I can put it on the show notes. But he's basically performing Girls Who Like Boys, Who Like Girls, Who Like Boys, that song. He puts the song out, like the mic out for the crowd to like sing, and it's just like nothing. And he is obviously upset and pissed off, and he said that they're never coming back ever again. Oof. To Coachella.
Oof.
So worst week for the band Blur. For I don't know, I've seen their past live shows. They really fill up a whole arena and done festivals, so like I've seen where he has done that before and the crowd is screaming back the lyrics. I don't know if it's a difference because, you know, there's actual fans seeing him there, or it's because it's Coachella now. It's like a celebrity gossipy kind of a group meet with influencers and like brands. Like, were people there to watch Blur? You know what,
right?
I mean?
Or were they there just to make an appearance?
But the fact that they literally in the middle of the track saying like, we're, you better enjoy this now because we're never coming back, I was like,
done. That's not the move. I know people get frustrated in the moment, but you have to. I saw that clip as well and I was like, it's rough, right? That's just rough. I get that you get emotional in a moment, but you have to stay professional. You have to like keep it in, right?
Yeah. So I know I wonder what time, like it looks like it was like late in the evening, so maybe drinking, it's an all-day event.
Yeah.
I always think of, I'll probably cut this out, but I think of Modest Mouse, like the front man. I've seen him so many times at shows and he's just like annihilated.
Oof, yeah.
I'm just like, how are you still standing and doing this? But yeah.
My worst week ever runner up is gonna be, and like sending powerful healing manifestations to this man, Ryan Anderson, who is Gypsy Rose Blanchard's soon to be ex-husband. I don't know. Have you been following the Gypsy Rose saga at all?
Oh, yes.
I'm obsessed. I've done a deep dive on her on my Patreon. I actually considered starting a podcast about her because I'm so obsessed. But then I felt like, she's kind of a victim. Like, I don't want to, you know.
I mean, anyway. The documentary's coming out. That is
right.
a leeway for you to do that.
Who knows? I watch the space, right? Watch, go, you know, follow me on Instagram at what I will say. I'll put it there if I still want. But they have announced their divorce. And right after they announced their divorce, I saw two things. She got a temporary restraining order against him. Now, I don't know if that's like because he was threatening her. Very well could have been. Obviously don't want to make light of that. But then again, and I tried to put this off, right? I was pulling for Gypsy Rose. I was like, that girl has never had a chance in her life to have a normal life. I just want her to get out of prison. She served her time. She served her debt to society and just be okay. Like you were in a horror. You were, you know, almost murdered by your own mother, killed in self-defense. I kind of think, although it's complicated, but like, I was just pulling for her. And I have a co-host, Imps, who's on sometimes. And she was sort of like, yeah, but look who her mother is. Those manipulative tactics, that sort of manipulation and like.
It's indoctrinated in her.
Right. And I start to question, it's like, why is she doing these? Is she getting restraining order because like he's threatening her? Is she getting restraining order because it looks better to the public that like, oh, I needed this. Like, I don't even want to think of that. I never want to question like what a woman needs to feel safe. That's not for me to say or not. But she is also going to be seeking spousal support from him. And isn't that bullshit, right? Like, surely she doesn't need money from him. Like, she has this huge following and she has her documentary series, which I believe she's being paid for, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. Was that in the documents for like the divorce?
Let me be honest. I saw people like talking about it on Reddit and Twitter. So of course, grain of salt, as always. I did not go through the divorce documents myself. Maybe I should have,
but
because
still,
I am interested.
The fact that that's out there and being talked about, like, yeah, no, that's a huge uproar. And like, I'm kind of like surprised too.
Right. I know she took down her Instagram, but if she would just calm down and get a management team, she could make millions off that Instagram account. My girlfriend's like an influencer. She's doesn't have as many followers as Gypsy, but like the money you can make off ads is really great. It's great money if you do it well. And I just, once you have the followers, if you can just calm down and take direction, you're good. You're good to go. And so I just don't know. Gypsy has just really sort of been floundering since she got out. And then I'm not surprised they got divorced. I think they only got married because she wanted to live with him when she got out of prison. So, you know,
no, you're
no
right.
Shocker,
he needs but a better team because she has a nose job right now. She can do so many ads. Like,
I know
she
could have gotten
surgeon.
Surgery for free. I don't know if she
yeah.
paid for it or not. She very well, she could have easily gotten it gifted. Maybe she did, but it's funny. It's like you would think that somebody who wants to go a grifty direction like Gypsy might, because of her mother, not really her fault, although at this point she is an adult, she kind of needs to take ownership, but she has that history.
Yeah,
like influencing would be great, but and not to say all influencers are grifters, but it's just like, you know, it's great work if you can get into it. I mean, I do it some. Like, it's great work if you can get into it, if you can, you know, get on the internet and commune with people in a way that's compelling for either companies want to, you know, buy ad space with you, or, you know, I make most of my money off of Patreon. Like, if you can get into that work, it's incredible work. Like, I love it. And I don't make any ad money. I'm not big enough for that. Well, not really. But like, if Gypsy could do that, it is that sort of great niche that I think, you know, that's what she wants. So I don't understand why she won't just commit to that and just calm down and take some direction and maybe get a publicist and just like build a platform about I'm a survivor of abuse and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel bad for Ryan because, I mean, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't feel bad for him, but like, I've also seen they did not have a prenup. So that's a mess as well. That's going to be a mess to get
what?
Through. Yeah.
What
but
the
that
F-y Darby?
We definitely called this. We covered her documentary, like I said, a few months ago on my Patreon. And I said, well, that relationship is not going to last. I said that pretty confidently, and it is not. So.
Well, I guess let her have her Lana Del Rey moment. But she definitely needs to hone down on she needs to sit down and see what's next for her. Like, what's good for, because she is missing opportunities.
Yeah, no, I mean, she, like I said, I mean, what, she had a couple million followers on Instagram, 6 million or something. Like, she, the amount she could charge for ads if she would just chill out a little bit and just like share, you know, content about, you know, life.
Yeah.
Is outrageous. You know, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars she could make easily. So.
Yeah, no, she just to get ready with me. I can see so many people just logging into that.
What I eat in a day is like she could just do really neutral stuff. She could also do like I'm a survivor. Like this, here's signs of abuse. Like, and somebody could write all of that for her. She, like, you know, and somebody can edit it and film it all for her. Anyway, Gypsy,
call me her.
Gypsy, get in touch. We can do this. Like, I can help you. So.
No, seriously. We are now for our worst week ever winner. My worst week ever winner, I feel like it's a dead giveaway unless something else happens. OJ Simpson.
Oh gosh, well, he did die.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope that the first thing I thought of, and I don't know if this is like appropriate of me, but I was like, that brain, can we get that brain in a lab?
Mm.
Definitely their CTE. I just want to know like what made OJ Simpson OJ Simpson. But apparently he had died from cancer and he was 76, battling prostate cancer. And yeah, he passed away on April 11th on hospice care. And according to his family, the last week they had to sign NDAs for
I heard that.
Their goodbyes, which is kind of weird. I don't know. Is that weird? Would you find that weird?
I think that's weird. Usually, like, a lot of the time when somebody dies, NDAs expire. So I wonder if they had already signed them and now they're having to do it again, I guess, to say goodbye. I imagine, and I hate to say this, they maybe quite literally know where the bodies are buried. So, like, I would just say it's indicated that they had information about crimes he committed, which some of which he was convicted
for. Aha moment, Cam. Like that is exactly why did my mind go there?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's where I was like, oh shit. Well, he did it. So
yeah. I mean, his kids, when you think about it, are I'm 36. I think his oldest is a year older than me, and his son is too. And like they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
That is wow. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm like so stunned at the fact that he most likely had. Yeah, we'll see if those NDAs do have a permanent kind of a if it does expire or not.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I imagine that. And I imagine it wasn't just about their goodbyes. I imagine that was contingent about his will as well. I don't know that he had many assets, but maybe he had some left. So
I don't think so. I don't think he had.
He was kind of like destitute in the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, like he was still committing some felonies,
right?
Right? Because
he
like
armed. He was convicted of armed robbery, right, or assault?
Armed robbery for like stealing back his own memorabilia. Yes. Yeah. That is what happened. But like what we mostly all known is for the death on June 12th, 1994, when Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman were found dead in front of the home in Brentwood. And there's just been, if you know the story of Nicole Brown, it's really obviously devastating. She was so young when she met OJ Simpson. And from the beginning was super abusive and toxic throughout the relationship, and just proof of him saying if Nicole were to ever leave him, he will kill her. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, finally, kind of when I got the news of OJ Simpson, like he's just been so. He is very like up there with Trump when it comes to like 90s celebrityism, you know, like I saw him everywhere, Naked Gun, like the Super Bowl, obviously. So you would see him on Sunday Super Bowls, like annuals and whatnot. Yeah. So, and we all knew, like, I was really young when the trial happened, but I do remember it being on in every like dry cleaners, laundromat, you know what I mean? Like it was, everyone was watching this trial case, but do you have any thoughts or?
My memories of the trial are, my mom told me the day that they found him innocent was the day I clicked into being able to like read like full sentences, like reading just clicked for me. So that's how old I was. And I remember having a conversation with my parents about like, well, how did they know? I was like Team OJ as a little kid. I don't know why. I knew nothing about him or the case. I liked football a lot though. So maybe just like that he was a football player. But I remember my parents were like, yeah, he probably did it. And I remember like being however old and saying, well, how do they know it's blood on the sock? Maybe it's ketchup. I just like, I was like standing up for OJ for some reason. Now I do, you know, obviously believe he did it. I've seen the data and the evidence now, but for some reason as a kid, I was like, no, he's innocent. I don't know why, but I remember my dad telling me something like, well, they can tell if something's blood or ketchup, like they can test it. So I learned that, but yeah.
Well, yeah, as a kid, I loved Naked Gun as a kid. So like seeing, I was like, I can't believe this. I don't think this dude would do it. Like he's on TV. Like as a kid, you know, like you root for like who you see on TV and like you football me. I'm like this comedic movie. But yeah, wow. We'll see if there's going to be anything coming out soon from family members. Or I thought what was really hilarious is some people found out that OJ died because there was condolences sent to Khloe Kardashian.
Oh. Because everybody thinks he's her dad.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty hilarious. But
yeah,
who is your worst week ever this week?
Well, given when we're recording this, which is April 16th, I am going to have to go with Mr. Joe Alwyn, because Torture Poets Department is about to drop in a matter of days now. Really, we're down to a matter of hours almost. I'm thrilled, obviously, as you can tell. And I know for a fact, actually, there is going to be songs about Maddie on this album. But I have zero doubt that there's going to be songs absolutely dragging and eviscerating Joe. And I just think it's over for him. He has not booked a role since he and Taylor broke up. He has stuff coming out because it was stuff he previously booked. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't booked a role since Taylor and him broke up. I'm not surprised, because one of my sources told me who had contact with Taylor in like a professional way, but also in a friendly way. It was sort of a blend. You know how the industry is, like you're kind of, you have to network with everybody you work with. So it's like you sort of become friends with them. Taylor was obsessed with Joe, and anytime she got a chance, anybody in the like film industry, acting industry was around, she was pitching him for stuff. She was saying, Joe would be great for that. Oh, have you met my boyfriend Joe? Like she was always like hustling, trying to get him work. And I think some of the work he maybe got on his own merits, I'm not trying to like drag him too much, but like some of it was due to Taylor. And I'm just not surprised that since that has dried up, he has not booked another role. And I just think if she frames him in a certain light, I don't know. I think it could be really, really awful for him, right?
Really? Because I think it would be awful for her.
What do you
now,
mean?
Hear me out. Okay, mm-hmm. So just hear me out. And I love Taylor Swift. I have to say this right off top from the beginning, because he's been so quiet. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like because it's been dried up, a part of me feels this is all alleged, theorized in my own little bubbly, chaotic head, borderline blacklisted maybe, because she had so many pulls and strings to get him to where he was that she can easily just be like under the rug, take it away, mm-hmm. you know? But also going back to the album, I am super anticipating for that album just because we do know that we are going to hear songs that are going to be strictly for Joe. And I don't know if that's going to be a great look for those who are not going to understand. Like, I feel like you and I, we're going to understand, like I'm going to be obsessed. But mm-hmm. I feel like she is probably going to get, especially her dating Travis Kelce, I'm afraid that this album would shake up a little bit because of lyrics and past experiences.
So are you saying you think Taylor is going to come off looking childish and petty or vindictive if she goes too hard? Yeah. I mean, listen, I think you're probably right. And I think a lot of people are going to get whiplash because like we have gotten songs like Lover about Joe and you know, just the different sort of energy. But what's funny is, so I have this, I did this series on my Patreon called Project Windmill. And I got some tea in the fall of 2021 that like Taylor was not doing well. And I sort of linked it up to, I think there's problems with Taylor and Joe, to the point where I did an update on this series. I actually had an NT lawyer on to talk about it. And I did an update on that series the same day she wrote You're Losing Me. I was like sitting there on the mic with Inti, like, yeah, Taylor and Joe are in trouble. There's trouble in paradise. What's going to happen? Because of like tea I heard, and also just sort of my gut instinct. And if you follow the music, Taylor and Joe have always sort of been in trouble from the very start, to songs like Delicate, where she, you know, is talking about, is it okay that I'm even thinking about you? So It Goes, written in the fall of 2017. They've been together for 1 year. She's writing So It Goes. We break down just a little, but when you get me alone, it's so simple. It's about a toxic relationship where like they're fighting, but the sex is really good. Then you get to Lover, you get songs like False God. We fight, we fuck, we get drunk, we make up, but it's like, this is a troubled relationship. I also think some songs on Lover, Death by a Thousand Cuts, she tried to say it was about this movie. I don't think it's about the movie. I think she and Joe broke up. In fact, I know for a fact they broke up while she was on Rep Tour for part of it. Now, he went to a couple shows, but that wasn't when they were broken up. I've heard that from like different places. And they have been on and off and troubled for their entire relationship. And I know people are like, oh, we heard Lover, she's so, but even in Lover, I'm highly suspicious that everybody who sees you wants you. Why is she so insecure? Why is she even worried about it? Like, I'm in a happy relationship. We've been together for almost 2 years. And like, she's a beautiful woman. And I do think everybody who sees her wants her, but I never think about it because the idea of her with someone else is like alien to me. I don't have any insecurity there. So I just feel like Taylor and Joe had an unhealthy relationship through the whole thing. And I think she is, people might not like it, but I think she is going to sort of retcon some of the details. And I think she'll point back. I think, I don't know. I don't know about the context of that album. I've gotten a little tea. I know Fortnite is going to be the lead single. And we're probably getting a music video for it. And there's going to be like a Fortnite challenge. I've gotten a little tea about Love of My Life. Heard that it is actually about Maddie Healy. So what the fuck?
Wow.
So I hope but I think if I know Taylor, and if like the years of analysis I've done, this whole series where I like relooked at all the music and saw how many themes of like misery and anxiety are there, I think she is going to really expertly paint a picture about, he was always kind of a shit. Now, here's the thing. If Joe isn't that bad and they just broke up and it was amicable and it's not that big a deal, which I don't believe, I believe he cheated on her. And I believe he was kind of a bad boyfriend. If he's not that bad though, if that's not true, I think that will show up. I think she won't go too hard on him, and it's not going to reflect poorly on her. But I think if he was that bad, I think some people won't have it, but a lot of people don't like Taylor, so that's okay. And if you don't, that's fine too. Like, she's not for everybody. I wholeheartedly say that. And I have a lot of criticisms for her, but I'm kind of rambling, so I'll wrap it up. But like, I think she is going to really expertly weave the tale of, you actually always kind of sucked and you cut me down and you had these problems. I think sort of Joe's bad tendencies and, you know, issues. I've heard some rumors. I don't even want to say them, but like, I think it's going to reflect really poorly on him. And I've heard this album is insanely good. I've kind of heard from somebody who's heard it, heard from somebody who heard from somebody who heard it, and people are going to love it. And a lot, they were kind of saying it's so good. It's insane. It's her magnum opus. And if she nails it, it's over for Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I think it's been kind of over for him.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. And I don't want that. Like, I'm not like, fuck it. You know, I think it's hard to be alive in this day and age. It's hard to be an artist. It's hard to be an actor. It's probably hard to date one of the most famous women in the world. Like, I'm not trying to just drag Joe. I don't think he was the right guy for her. And I've been saying that since 2021, but you know, I don't think that he deserves to be like, you know, strung up and quartered or, you know, guillotined. Like, obviously I think some Swifties are taking it way too far. With yeah. how they talk about how they want. I'm disgusted. Honestly, I'm disgusted by people who are like, I want him dead, blah, blah, blah. I mean, maybe somebody says it in passing as a joke. I probably said it as a joke before, but you know, I hope people will be cool. They won't be. And Taylor won't say anything about it, which I don't like that on her part either, but I think the album's going to be incredible. Let me say that. And I think it's going to be bad for him. If I had to guess.
I'm excited for the aftermath. I hope Well, this is so Taylor, but like love it. Love is fair.
All is fair in love and war.
Yes, it's
yeah,
very
I
much
agree.
That.
I say that a lot. Like when it comes to celebs, like I kind of agree. Like, did Ariana Grande do wrong when she stole that woman's, you know, father of her child? Yes. But it's like, if they're in love, what are they supposed to do? I don't know. Maybe that's shitty, but I do just kind of think, first of all, let's keep it entertaining. If you're entertaining me, I'm okay. But
yeah.
Second of all star in love and war. Like, what are you going to do? What are you supposed to do if you fall in love with somebody, you know, and they have somebody else? Like,
I know I mentioned her already. I can't believe I mentioned her twice. J-Lo, get out of my head. The Ben Affleck and J-Lo, I'm very much like, I don't care. I love them.
Yeah. Well, listen, the Benifers are happy. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah. We are now going to move on to our best week ever category. Best week ever honorable mention. I am going to start off with nominating Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac. Yes, she has quit, but she is now pregnant. She announced that she is 13 weeks, almost close to her second trimester. I'm super excited, but at the same time, I'm super upset that we are missing it. I feel like I'm going to hold Giselle accountable for so much this following season. Also, I don't know, you can take this as a best week or worst week, but like Bravo this week has been just spewing out so much like news, especially yesterday, just dumping us with Robin getting fired, NECA getting fired. We have Alexia from Real Housewives of Miami. She is getting a divorce from Todd, and apparently she didn't know she was getting divorced when he filed for it yesterday down at the court. I feel like there was other important Bravo news, but it's just been so much, especially yesterday. I feel like the minute I woke up, it was like bam, 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 like just news after news after news. And also a second best week honorable mention, I want to nominate Walton Goggins. I don't know if you know this actor. He's on this TV show called Fallout, but I just wanted to put this article out about him. I find his life really interesting, especially his personal love life. He's a great actor. If you've seen Sons of Anarchy, he plays a trans woman, and he's also been on the Super Mario's brother. He is probably like, he was on HBO. I forgot the name of that show, but it's like Vice Principals, I think. Anyway, he has a wife that actually completed suicide. In his past like life, it happened in the early 2000s, and he was away for a while and then relied back into acting to cope. And obviously I'll put the trailer down for the show notes of Fallout. It looks great, and I've heard nothing but great reviews about it. And when I saw him on it, I obviously was like, okay, I do want to see this show. But I do want to give him like a like a best week honorable mention, because with the show and knowing more about his life, he's really interesting, and I like his press junket right now. And yeah, he's pretty cool. Who do you have for best week ever honorable mention?
Okay, so my honorable mentions are the TV show Netflix, Three Body Problem. Fucking incredible. I binged it all. So good. If you're into sci-fi, alien vibes, futuristic technology vibes, creepy stuff going on in the science world vibes, Three Body Problem, it's a winner for me. Great cast, really well acted, really well written. And it gives you hope for Netflix. Although I will say, I don't know that it's been renewed for season two yet, but I think like what they're asking for, it was done by the guys who did Game of Thrones. So like, all right, great. Like big set pieces and these sort of dramatic moments and tension and all of that. I've seen they're asking for like hundreds of millions of dollars for the next season. And I hope they get it, because it's fucking incredible. And I feel like it's going to take a big budget to pull off some of these big ideas the show has. But yeah, Three Body Problem. If you're looking for like a fun summer sci-fi watch, I'm definitely going with Three Body Problem. I also had, not to be controversial, but honorable mention best week ever, JoJo Siwa. Because yes, she is struggling. Yes, we talked about all her worst week problems. but that fucking song is everywhere and she's fucking everywhere. So I just feel like in a way it's kind of working. No press is bad press, right? So we'll see. She also performed at Miami Pride the other night, and the performance I thought was fucking great. I don't know. Like, I'm fucking lame, I guess.
It looks like she's having fun. That's why you can't she's happy. She's happy. Yeah.
So those are my two for honorable mention. You know, lots of exciting things going on in the world right now. And I loved that TV show. I really recommend it. Everybody check it out.
I can't wait because I've heard from multiple people that show is really interesting. And also because when was the last time, I know when Game of Thrones was being made, the reason why they wrapped it up so tightly was because they were on the works of making something else. Do you remember what they were working on?
I don't. To know.
That's a bummer. But yeah, no, I'm excited to watch it, especially since it's sci-fi. And I really hope Netflix can stop doing the one and done seasons, because it, like, people actually put a lot of energy and time into, like, yes, yeah, we'd be binging, but like, we're binging because we actually like these shows.
I know. Well, you know, I've seen all this research that like binging shows you enjoy it less, which sucks. But I just hope they keep it going. You know, I need another season of this show. Netflix has to do a little better about that. They keep canceling good stuff, you know. They did when they canceled Glow because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
That was devastating.
That's another one too. Situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that.
You know, Brie Larson talks about possibly like wrapping it up as a movie. And I was you guys, like, put your money together and do something about it. Not Brie Larson, Allison.
Okay, I was going to say Allison Brie. Yeah, I would love that. And, you know, she and her husband, like, produce a lot of their own movies. So, like, maybe they could. I'd watch the shit out of that. Are you kidding me? The gays would be there for sure.
Please put that out in the universe. Best week ever runner-up. Who do you have this week?
Okay, so this week I've got Billie Eilish as my runner-up. She just performed at Coachella. It was great. She performed with Lana and they both sounded incredible. And Billie has always looked up to Lana. So like that they had this amazing performance together. I know like for Billie, that's a big deal. For her fans, that's a big deal. And she also dropped this new song called Lunch that is gay as hell, which is great because Billie recently came out and like that's such a process. But when you come out and you're like, you know, being open about it, that's a really joyful thing for me to see. And I know it's joyful for her to experience. The lyrics of this song are, I could eat that girl for lunch, the way she dances on my tongue, tastes like she might be the one, I could never get enough. I could buy her so much stuff. It's a craving, not a crush. So now she's coming up the stairs. So I'm pulling up a chair and I'm pulling up my hair, which is just like, damn it. And I feel like this is such a moment. Best week ever, Billie Eilish, but like best week ever gays too. Like gay women particularly. We're having a huge week. We're going to talk about that in a second too. But like we've had pop stars come out as bisexual. Miley Cyrus, Lady Gaga. There's like songs like Lady Gaga's song Poker Face is like supposed to be sort of a reference to about like her bisexuality and like sleeping with a man and like he doesn't know that she'd rather be with a woman kind of vibe. And like, okay, that's really cool. But this is a new era of people being explicit about it, of people saying it, of people putting a label on it. Like, I'm gay. Renee Rapp saying, I'm a lesbian. Like, being very open about it. And this explicit song, it's not innuendo. She's talking about eating pussy. Like, it's amazing, right? We have not seen this before. Sure, fringe artists or like smaller artists, I should say, have talked about this and been open about it. But like Billie Eilish, who is one of pop's biggest stars, I could eat that girl for lunch. Are you kidding me? So it's just incredible. I'm really happy for her. I'm happy for the gays. Amazing.
She is having the best week ever because now I love how she's not hiding it anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen her in Coachella. She was dancing. She just looks so free. And yeah, so happy for her. And I can't wait to listen to this new song because I haven't heard it yet. Mm-hmm. And I can tell with like Billie's voice, I bet it fucking sounds amazing, this song, especially with those lyrics.
Yeah.
My best week ever runner up, I am nominating Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones. I don't know if you watch Hot Ones.
I do. I'm a big fan, but I haven't seen that episode.
It's actually pretty hilarious, and it's a great week because a lot of the discourse I see online is people asking what happened to Conan O'Brien. He was like the most beloved like late night show host. I always thought like he was treated so badly, like the orphan child when it came to the networks deciding who was going to like take over the late night. I guess it's like a big deal hosting the night show.
Yeah,
And
there's a whole storyline in 30 Rock about it. I don't know if you
exactly,
remember
like it
that.
really goes back to the Jimmy Carson. I'm saying this so bad, but like before Letterman, like before Jay Leno, like, well, Letterman and Jay Leno had their own like feud going on. But yeah, just the history of the night host talk show. And it's a bummer that it's given to, Jimmy Fallon. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's pretty good, but Conan was always the one that I enjoyed watching as a teen. And it was great to just see his old self in the Hot Ones going manic, eating these hot wings. And it just resurfaced my love for Conan O'Brien. And I can tell that in the conversations online on Twitter and whatnot, like, he is getting that deserved love. I know he has his own like TV show and podcast, but I don't know. It's not the same.
Yeah, I know it. He definitely sort of got done dirty. Did dirty. He was done. He was did di
Twice.
done. He struggled. He was promised these late night spots, and then it was sort of yanked out from under him. Like I said, the story kind of gets retold in 30 Rock. It's weird. Like she uses janitors, and she's like, "Well, this janitor was supposed to get to do this," and Tina Fey. But so that's tough, but it's good to see him like out there and thriving now, given, the ups and downs of his career.
Yeah, truly. I mean, there's a saying like "Si es para ti, es para ti." It's like something my mom has said. It's like very like much like there's a if it's for you, God has a plan for you kind of thing. Like there's nothing really in the way, it'll be for you. And I really do think Conan like kind of like thrives that because he from everyone I've heard in the industry, I actually have a couple friends from high school that worked for Conan. She was part of the crew that got moved out to LA when he moved to LA, and he just like takes care of his people and his production, and it's like he's such a good guy. You know
Yeah,
what I
I've
mean?
heard
Like one of
that.
the good
Yeah.
ones.
He is, yeah, one of the rare good men in Hollywood. He's not like abusing people. He's not taking advantage of people. He's a good boss. I've heard all the same. So you got to stay pulling for Conan for sure.
Who is your best week ever winner?
In
Oh.
a similar vein, I've got to go with Chappell Roan. If you don't know who Chappell Roan is, her music is taking over. She has a new song out called Good Luck Babe, which is a gay fucking anthem. The gay girlies are freaking out about it on TikTok and Twitter. Everybody's loving it. She just performed at Coachella. People are raving about her vocals. She is this sort of unapologetic, artistic, lesbian singer-songwriter with this incredible voice. People are talking about, if you want to see like some good example of her live vocals that are really good, her performance of Red Wine Supernova at Coachella, everybody's raving about. And she's just, people love her new song. She's exploded onto the scene. And she's just eating it up. And everybody loves her. And gays at Coachella maybe are having the best week because they got the Billie Eilish, they got Chappell Roan. They also got the cast of the L Word introducing Renee Rapp. Are you fucking kidding me? Maybe I'm gonna update it to gays at Coachella, like lesbians at Coachella. The bi girlies, the pan girlies, the non-binaries, everybody, all the gay girls at Coachella having the best week ever. Because are you kidding me? This content's incredible.
And isn't there talks about the L word coming back too?
Oh, I don't know. They just canceled
Like,
Generation
this is
Q.
all allegedly, guys.
I
Like,
wish they would because.
I hear cries for it to come back or like some kind of format the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, more of the original cast, less of the new people, maybe. I tried to watch Generation Q and I was not crazy about it, but I love the original L Word. It's so good. We were actually just watching it. It just went off Hulu. So I'm having the worst week ever because me and my girlfriend want to watch the L Word. She had never seen it before, like fake lesbian, right? She's basically straight. She had never seen the L Word. Are you kidding me? But we were watching it and then it got pulled off Hulu before we could finish it. So worst week ever for me.
Oh, no, you got to. You gotta stream it somewhere.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But Chappelle, I've been watching this girl for a year work. You know what I mean? Like, I feel she, I very much, like Muna, I've heard of her from the gay community first, like about her music. I think it was like La Culturista, like Matt Rogers was like raving about her last year. And I was like, I'm gonna check her out. Tiny Desk, I really think blew her the fuck up. Because everyone was like, who's this girl? And like, why is she dressed like this? And I'm like, her music is, and Olivia Rodrigo, like, there's just been so many like connections that she has. You can tell that there are true artists that truly love her music and her talent. And yeah, she is having a best week ever for sure. And I am so thrilled that the gays took over Coachella this. Spring, because it may look hot, but guys, I live in Northern California, but I'm freezing my ass. I don't know how the girlies are wearing what they wear
at Coachella.
Yeah, I'm cold all the time. I'm very cold, sorry.
It was a great week of music. Like, there's so much. We could do a whole episode just on Coachella. Like Grimes, oh my god, I almost put her in my worst week ever because her whole set was a fucking disaster. It's so funny though, because Grimes is like this fake, you know, she sold out to be with Elon. Like, she's a mess, right? She's a hilarious character in pop culture. But all in all, Chapel Roan, Renee Rapp, Billie Eilish, like the gay girlies are tearing it up and you'd love to see it.
I love it. And now my best week ever winner is actually part of the Coachella talk too, is No Doubt Reunion.
Oh, amazing. Yes.
I've been a No Doubt fan since I was a child. Same. Remember buying their albums, obsessed with Gwen's like look and the pink hair. It was so historical to see her and Tony just like playing together, hugging each other. There's affection. That's family. That's love. And I know I said this a couple weeks ago where I was just like, Gwen Stefani, we kind of have to give her some grace because she did come out and said that it's very embarrassing and cringe for her to sing some of these lyrics because it comes from a time where she was so hurt and she just was pining for this love that, you know, now that she looks at it, it's like, wow, like my story's totally different, you know? And she collabed with Olivia Rodrigo on the Coachella set and sang Bathwater together, which is one of my favorite No Doubt songs. And yeah, the whole set was amazing. Did you get to see it online at all?
Yeah, I definitely caught some of it. And I saw her and Olivia together and I thought it was incredible. And it's nice to also just like little shout out to Olivia. Like, I feel like she has her ups and downs, her fucking feud with Taylor Swift or, you know, just everything. I'm pulling for her, right? I'm pulling for Olivia always. So to see her get to perform with one of her idols was really special. And they sounded great, I thought. So.
Oh, it was so great. And I can't believe how great Gwen still looks today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that I'm not surprised. You got Gwen Stefani, you got the Voice money or whatever fucking show, or no, Blake Shelton's on that. So yeah, she's married to him. You got Voice money. Listen, you can get some touch ups, but as she should, more power to her. I don't hate on that kind of stuff. I think if you can afford it, do whatever helps you get through the day. Right.
Yeah. Like I said, she's gone through trauma. She's been with Gavin from Bush and you know, the story with that. I did not know. I think it was Shanika from Horror Hues podcast was the one who informed me that he had an affair with the nanny and the nanny started looking more like Gwen. And when you look up and Google these photos, you're just like, I can't believe this happened to her.
I feel like it's just, that is just an issue with men, right? Like, I think monogamy gets men into such trouble. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just biology, maybe it's whatever, but like you see that again and again. Why are these guys doing this? How could you cheat on Gwen fucking Stefani? How could you, right? How could you cheat on Taylor Swift? I think we're going to find out Joe did, but like they just do. And who knows why, right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, now we're going to move on to my favorite part of the show where I ask my guests what their favorite song is from the early 2000s to 2010. I'm excited for this because it's another Britney Spears song. We're going to have another Britney bitch moment. It is Hit Me Baby One More Time. Can you please tell me where were you when you first heard the song and what makes it your ultimate favorite?
I don't know. I don't exactly know, but I have a very specific memory tied to this song. And it's funny because it was like, like 9? I don't know. I was born in 1989, right? So like, however, 10 years old, maybe around when this song came out. And I just remember this boy from my class, Matthew, talking about how, and we're 10 years old, so he was maybe like a little precocious, but talking about how hot Britney Spears was and how if it meant that he got to like kiss Britney or something, he would jump off the roof of a building. And me being like kind of same. Like, interesting that I feel the same way that Matthew does. Like, we're just not fans. Like, maybe we like her more than that. So, like, it was sort of an eye-opening moment for me. But you, to me, cannot talk about pop music without the song Hit Me Baby One More Time. Those clunky, piano-y synths. Max Martin, my absolute pop music idol, obsessed with him, right? Like, if you don't know Max Martin, he's responsible for all the sort of aughts hits and into the, you know, into the tens and teens. And even now, I mean, he just produced Ariana Grande's new album, right? But he did the NSYNC and Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys and Pink and all of that, right? He was responsible for a lot of the sounds. Like he is just a genius to me. And I think his genius is just best displayed on Hit Me Baby One More Time. I cannot think of a better pop song. You know, the longing and the energy and how it's kind of a happy, sad sound. I'm obsessed with it. Britney is everything to me, right? I love Britney, always pulling for Britney. And this song to me just encapsulates such a time. I just challenge anyone listening, go put on Hit Me Baby One More Time. You are going to be flooded with nostalgia and just like endorphins. It's an incredible song, don't you think?
Oh, I love that song. It's my favorite. And one of my favorite things, because going back to the producer with who came up with the song, and I think he's Swedish, right? Because
yes,
the lyrics Hit Me Baby One More Time, like Britney didn't get it. I love the story of how this song was made and how Britney got involved with it. And just like the aftermath and whatnot. But because this was before she was like big, before no one knew her. But yeah, no, it's still one of my favorite songs. And I still, like, my daughter loves that song too. She's 4.
It's so good.
But I want to say, like, when you said I was born in 1989, my daughter has been watching the Eras nonstop. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
But like at 7 in the morning,
I was born in 1989.
Yeah. She's been saying, I'm Taylor Swift and I was born in 1989. She's been screaming that. But back to Britney Spears. No, Hit Me Baby One More Time is like, you can put that anywhere and people are dancing to it.
Yeah. I think I have a few songs in my life. Like there's a song called Why Does Love Got to Be So Sad by Derek and the Dominoes. That's Eric Clapton and Dwayne Allman's project. I kind of mentioned them earlier. It's this album, Layla and Other Love Songs. You probably heard the song Layla, but Why Does Love Got to Be So Sad? Very special song. But like Hit Me Baby One More Time is one of the songs that made me love music. And it certainly is the song that made me love pop music. It just did something to me. It's an important song. Like, I just think it was this fresh sound. Britney, of course, an icon. It helped, you know, I mean, Max had been, the funny thing is Max Martin, he had his own music and he like had trouble getting it to take off. But when he worked with other people and he made this pop music, boy, did it, he's just something special, right? He's just a one in a million kind of talent. And, you know, he is changed the face of pop music. And I just feel like this song is one of the songs that put him on the map. It's not the first song he did, but like, it was just such a global fucking hit. And it always goes off every time you hear that doom, doom, you know, and you hear Britney's little vocalizations. You know, it's going to be a good night when that song comes on. You know?
No, like everything just combined really ticked off all the boxes, like the look, Britney, the song, the beat, like everything. It just came all together. I'll never forget in fifth grade, Brianna Coyle, she was like the popular girl in the class. We were all in the bathroom during lunch. And she had the first album of Britney Spears, of Britney, like literally on the floor. It's all pink with, you know, the Britney and the first album like ever. And yeah. I just remember we were all hovered, like looking at it, seeing the sleeve, reading the lyrics. Like it was like that. I think that's what turned me into pop culture. Like just not just the music of Britney, but just being like, wow, she's 16. And I was like in fifth grade thinking that she was so like, I wanted to dress like her, tan like her. Cause remember, like Britney loved to like lay out.
Oh, she's a Louisiana girl. She's a Southern girl. I know all about it, right? I'm from the deep south. Like, lay out, go down to the lake, you know, like, I get it. And that's the thing, right? It wasn't just the music. It was Britney herself. Mm-hmm. And that is where I find myself in my podcast. Yes, like, music compels me and the music is what brings me in. But following these people, it's like, we don't have a royal family to keep up with. Yeah. I mean, I keep up with the British one anyway. I have a deep dive on Kate Middleton. If anybody's worried about her, I am too. We don't have like a pantheon of Greek gods. You know, it used to be the Greeks would look up the sky and be like, well, Zeus did this and Hera did that. Like, we don't have that. We have our celebrities. And like, they put out this music and it gets my attention. And then I come in and I fall in love with them, or I fall in love with following them, right? Because some of them are kind of shitty people, right? But like, I need to know, like, what is Taylor up to? How is Britney doing? And I follow them in this, there's sort of present this fantasy. There's almost, they're real people, but they're almost sort of fictional in a way. They're larger than life. They're like gods to us, to some people, like the way they impact our culture and impact the way we act. Just like the Greeks would be like, well, don't do this because Zeus did this. And, you know, it cursed, you know, he ate his children or whatever. Zeus got eaten by his father. Kronos, I don't know. But like, to me, they impact culture in a way that shapes the way we act and the things we do. And that is why I'm just so obsessed with it. The music, who is the music about? What is it about? What does it tell us about that artist? And what does that in turn going to tell us about like how society is going to feel about it? And that's what I explore in my podcast. So like Britney, Hit Me Baby One More Time, fucking iconic, right? And it's not just the song, it's the whole package. And that's what it is for me. Yeah.
Ugh, and I'm so excited because you just came out with an episode, guys. It's going to be in the show notes. Please follow what I will say. You are going to dive into Joe Olin and Taylor Swift in this beloved week of Taylor Swift's new album coming out. I'm super excited. Are you and the girls having a release party, listening party at all?
They might. I will probably be doing, if they want to do it the night the album comes out, I can't, because I actually will be doing a video reaction of all the first tracks. And I think it's just going to be on my Patreon, might be public though. Hang around, you know, come find me. Like I said, find me on Instagram. It'll be there, but, I'm not sure. The girls might, but I'm probably going to have to do some solo work. Cause this is like, it's like, this is like tax season for an accountant for me. I'm doing an episode every day this week. Every time Taylor drops a new album or a re-record, we do a whole week on the Patreon. So I put out an episode every day. So like yesterday I had this episode called The Four Horsemen of the Joe-pocalypse, which was like, we were looking for like signs that Taylor and Joe were having issues in their relationship. Today I did a deep dive on Clara Bow because Taylor has a song. She was a starlet, the first It Girl. And there's just going to be more. I'm going to be doing an episode every week. So if there is a live stream, I probably won't be involved unless it's like a little down the line.
I'm excited for the Clara Bow because I actually Googled it, and mm-hmm. knowing that she was a socialite, I was like, ooh, I love,
well, she was an girl. Actress. She was the first It Girl, right? Because she was in a movie called It. So that phrase was coined around her. And Claire is really interesting. I'll briefly say, she ended up leaving the industry to hide away and marry this man who she thought would fix all her problems. And then of course he didn't. And she, you know, her mental health spiraled, and like, you know, the man did not save her, you know, the cowboy, you know, the white knight did not come along and save her like she thought he would. And I think Taylor might relate to that, but we'll see. We'll see what aspects of her life we covered it all. So we'll see what parts Taylor was tapping into on the song Clara Bow, but I'm excited to get it.
She is our cryptic queen.
Indeed. Very much so. Yeah.
Cam, thank you so much for being on my show. Can you please let my listeners know where they can follow you, or if you have anything else to plug in?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, first of all, so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. You can find me on Instagram at What I Will Say, on TikTok at What I Will Say, and Tumblr. It's just wherever you want to get it. It's whatiwillsay.tumblr.com. And wherever you get your podcast, What I Will Say, we're covering music, we're covering Taylor, we're covering pop culture. Come through. We're having a great time.
Thank you.
Thank you.